you just touch the button. Boom, you get us.
On the app?
Live, yeah.
Oh, sure. I do it all the time.
Really easy.
When I get outside of the Boeing Metro, that's
yes.
where we're listening.
Facebook is at 1700 The Champ. I'll get yesterday and today's shows up there. That's the only two I have left. And Twitter, we did Twitter. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. Chiefs, Chargers. Mitch Holtis going to be live here coming up. It's going to be a great game tonight. Thoughts? I mean, high scoring. I can't believe it's not going to be high scoring.
Chargers? No. I've got Chargers winning.
You got it in the under, don't you?
I'm going with the under. I think that's Chargers have good defense.
Well, they do have a good defense. They have a good offense, too. And
right.
That's interesting.
No, I don't. What do you think? It's going to be a 37-34 game or something like that?
No, I think it has a good chance of being 38-28. That's 66.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I won all my bets last weekend. You didn't.
that is true. But the bets I lost didn't cost me any money. Bets, so
that is a perk.
It is the
on
up,
the app.
Up and up. All right. What else were we going to I told you we were going to talk. So we talked about Iowa.
We look at the same way with Iowa State. They're an 18.5-point favorite. Against Ohio, what if they
Ohio,
win?
Ohio's look at that. Ohio's offense is at least it'll be a lot like you watch the CMU game. They spread the ball out, throw. I mean, a lot of that stuff. And I think after watching the first half to the second half of that first game, and then watching the whole Iowa game, that is a lot better Iowa State defense than I thought we had, and it was just because there were so many new people and so many young people, and they rotated people.
Okay, it's
pretty exciting.
Iowa State wins. It's a 27-14 game. Are you like, okay, or does it need to be 13-10? Or excuse me, 38-10?
Well, I would rather see 38-10.
Well, yeah,
but I don't know. They're going to have a letdown. You can almost see that now. Maybe not because they're.
I thought that in the past, in the first game,
right? In the past couple of games or past couple of seasons, you had so many third either juniors, seniors, fifth year seniors, sixth year seniors,
right.
That sometimes you did have let down in games. Oh my gosh, they struggled thinking, hey, we can do this. I don't think Iowa State, I don't think Hunter Deckers, I definitely don't think Matt Campbell, I definitely don't think Tom Manning. Think that, oh man, we're rolling on offense. I think they're going to open the offense up.
I agree.
And I think the defense.
They're going to open up the offense against Ohio.
Yes.
They're not going to get through this game,
no.
Hide a few more things,
I think,
and then open it up after that.
I think that you want to put some doubt in Baylor's mind, even though Baylor just lost a game last weekend.
I know. Hunter Deckers is still your dude. You like the way he does.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Seen him do the check down, look at his options. I mean, he's playing the entire field, like it.
This is what I told David yesterday. If you would have switched quarterbacks and Iowa would have had Hunter Deckers and we would have had Spencer, they would have beat us 38-10. That's how good I think Hunter Deckers is.
Right.
I mean, I think
it's funny you would say that. Wasn't he supposed to maybe be a Hawkeye?
I think that kind of looks that way.
Weird.
But they had a couple of quarterbacks, Alex Padilla and Spencer Petras on their team. So
I just went blank. It was like Bubba or something like that. Was committed before Hunter Deckers. Also was supposed to be a big name.
Chubba Bubba.
Yeah. No, that would be the tub thumping song.
I don't know.
Whiskey drink, but no, it's. I'm like you. I would really like to see a 30-10, or excuse me, a 34-10 type of thing to see the offense go like we're hoping to.
Right.
And these new, obviously we have the X factor.
Jalen Noel, who I dearly love. He is so good at that slot.
Let's see it get spread out. Let's see a lot of people, not just one thing over and over again. From the running game to the,
I'd like to get the two tight ends. They have two tight ends. I think they're going to be good. A lot of people, we talked about that at Sarah and Feds on Saturday. Well, they haven't thrown to him much. Well, they kind of threw to him more than what even all of us even thought. I think they're good. They just don't have a lot of experience. Start getting it now.
Exactly.
But you get Baylor at home. I think that's good. Then you go to Kansas, which, I mean, it's not going to be an easy game. Then you get another home game. So, I mean, you get two home games here, and then I think they're all just back to back.
Right. Okay, 3-0. They beat them like they're supposed to. Iowa State beats Ohio like they're supposed to. Covers the 18.5. I mean, blows past that. Do you go, all right, cool.
2.5.
Or do you still go, oh, crap, it's Baylor. I still go,
oh, crap, it's Baylor. But I think it's we've gotten to a point, and I don't think Baylor is that team that can push that. I don't know. Texas scares me. Oklahoma scares me. The rest of them are dogfights because we're so much alike, everybody else.
Okay. I was going to say the Baylor game's a teeter totter.
Yeah. The K-State game, we don't like K-State. You know, K-State
seems to have our number.
We have a couple of teams that we want a little bit. We want Texas Tech because they hit a 64-yard field goal to win that game, and we didn't play very well. We didn't play very well at K-State. We won, but I mean
that type of thing. You let them get into that position to win it that way.
Sometimes getting that new blood coming in and getting these young kids that want to play. I mean, there's a lot of talent on that football team. What I would like to see, I'd like to see them get up pretty big in the first half. I don't know if that's going to happen, but then I would like to see Rocco Brett get I'd like to see him get a whole quarter, I think.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, he threw the ball.
You don't want more for 100?
No.
Wow. Okay.
And even David agreed with me. He said, Steen, why do you think Hunter over Spencer? And I'm like, progressions. He's so much better at progressions than – and plus the fact he has a stronger arm. But, I mean, just his progressions that he goes through.
Right.
And he's willing to run. Spencer can't. He's not running.
Right.
He's not going anywhere. And Hunter's can. He's just not – he's just – everybody – this is what everybody keeps saying to me. Well, how come he just doesn't take off running? Okay, this isn't the 235-pound Hunter Deckers. This is the 220-pound Hunter Deckers that still has the same arm but is going to run out of bounds instead of running over people. I mean, he learned I can't play Division I quarterback
at
238 pounds.
Right.
I mean, it matters. I mean, I think – but you're right. There's going to be a letdown, but maybe because of the newness with everybody. And the other thing that we talked about, that I talked about with Matt, having Maddie Nelson on, first time I've had Maddie Nelson on.
I was listening.
Is the fact that we were rotating offensive linemen and defensive linemen.
Right.
We haven't been able to do that.
Okay, that's depth and talent that we haven't talked about for decades.
When I first came on this show, Wolfgang and I, and Maddie Nelson came in studio, and the first question we asked Matt, what's your biggest concern? And that was 6 years ago. I don't think we have 5 offensive linemen who can actually play. And now we have 10. And that's the difference between that time frame and now is what's the two things you have to do? You have to have a good defensive line for being in the Big 12, and you have to have a good offensive line in the Big 12. And if you can do those two things.
Then let's lead into this conversation that we're dancing around here. You've heard the rumors. I've heard the rumors left and right. You know, obviously, my Hawkeye youngest son was quick to text me when I was in Chicago. Have you been listening to social media, ESPN, those different things, that as soon as they fired Scott Frost, I got that the number one, the leader for the job was Matt Campbell.
See, and I don't even think he's the leader for the job, but I can take the fact that he's one of the three.
Okay. When Vegas says he's the front runner, Vegas knows some things.
No, Vegas knows that he can get Nebraska people to bet that he's the choice and win some money.
Okay.
I've listened to the whole thing this week, and that's what we're going to talk about. Who's the better program?
Okay, well, and you've heard, it's funny, you start going down this rabbit hole and people are passionate.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's why would you leave? I mean, Nebraska isn't what they used to be, all these different things. Why would he leave when he's got a great thing? He's here for life. I've heard that he's already been in Lincoln. I've heard that rumor. Something you shake your head no that he's not going to do anything. And you hear the other faction say he's not going to do anything till after this season because he's a grower of men and this. Okay.
Now, does that mean he hasn't talked to somebody from Nebraska?
Money,
absolutely.
Money.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I get that. Is See, I don't know how Nebraska. I get it that you can spend money. They're right now. They're paying $75 million a year to head coaches that they've fired over the last 7 years.
Oh, and they're building,
and they owe him $15 million. They only had to wait 2 weeks. Now, some other things have come to light.
Yes.
Maybe they couldn't wait 2 weeks, but if they waited 2 weeks, it's $7.5 million.
Exactly.
Nebraska doesn't have that kind of money.
You sure?
Now, once this contract goes through and they're in the Big Ten, but see, that's the point. So tell me why.
They have a massive sports facility over there, that an upgrade that is supposed to be the best. The next one will be 5 years away from even touching the level it is. You've heard the massive NIL deal that was brokered on behalf of Nebraska in the Omaha area with some big players.
Right.
There's money in Omaha.
There is money in Omaha. Okay? I get that.
So, dude, am I saying, you asked me point blank, which is a better program, or which is, how do I say this? Which one is a better fit for him, or which is a better program?
I want both, because
obviously just because
it's the better fit program.
The fan out of me says Matt Campbell is a better fit at Iowa State.
Right, because he can do what he wants to do. He has a process. He's gone through the process. The last part of the process that he needed to do, he needed to beat Iowa. And now he's done that. That was his process. I want to be competitive in the Big 12. I want to go to bowl games, and we have to beat Iowa. He's got two recruiting classes coming in that are really, really good.
I know. But I mean, I also
and Nebraska at hasn't you been relevant in 6 years.
Okay. But the Big Ten aspect is a thing.
It is a thing.
I'm not saying anything negative
towards
the Big 12.
All that money's not coming to him, though, but it's coming to the university.
But there is a lot of money over there that their purse is bigger than Iowa State.
Because of the TV contract.
Yes.
Not the other way. It's not as big as what you think. I don't think the money difference is as big as what you think. And if it is, nobody over there knows how to spend the money.
Does he have any ties whatsoever to the Nebraska football program, to Nebraska the state, Lincoln? Does he have any ties?
No. Ohio, that's what we've always said.
Exactly.
Ohio.
I always thought he would end up going to
Ohio State or Notre Dame. Notre Dame would take that process talk and take it.
Right.
And, man, they thought they had their guy too, and they have no quarterback, and they just got embarrassed on national TV.
They covered the spread, though. I did okay. Oh, that was the first game.
Yeah, they couldn't have covered the spread because
That was the first game. But anyway,
Nebraska as a whole, as a football team, is not a better school. Nebraska as a whole, as an athletic department, isn't a better school. The fact that they're in the Big Ten, yes, that helps. But we haven't seen what the Big 12 gets. If the Big 12 gets 75% of that, what the Big Ten got, it's not a better program.
Everybody that says it is from the 90s and
history.
Stuff.
Nobody cares about history anymore.
Okay.
You know, what do we think? I mean, our history, and this is the reason we probably don't. Our biggest thing that we had in history is the Davis brothers broke 1,000 yards. That was our history leading up to when Matt Campbell came.
Well, even when I was in elementary school, being a Cyclone fan, you watched every Hawkeye game with Chuck Long and you know, the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all. I mean, it's what you did. It's, oh, I guess I'm going to go watch a Hawkeye game. Even though you couldn't get the Iowa State game on there, it was what, Channel 8, Channel 5 back in the day or whatever. But still, if he leaves at the end of the year and goes to Nebraska, are you disappointed? Are you mad? I guess he thought he had a better thing.
Boy, that's an interesting question.
Okay. As you're thinking on that, here's the better question. He will not do anything to the end of the season.
Oh,
there's a reason they got rid of Scott Frost now, so they can get in front of getting someone locked down.
I still don't know if Urban Meyer. Yeah, that's not going to happen. I still don't know if he's the – don't think he's the number one choice.
He was odds on the number one choice.
Right, from Vegas. I get that.
Right.
But Vegas, see, that's the part that Vegas knows things. No. What does Vegas know? Vegas knows what people will bet on. They don't care if they get it wrong.
Because all kinds of people from Iowa State said, ain't a chance that man's leaving me.
Right.
And so there was both Nebraska and Iowa State money that went in on that when they said
here's the other part of it, that with young kids, having his kids at Gilbert, matters. Having that he it does matter to him. I mean, he went to his daughter's game the other night. It mattered. If I'm him, I've had an athletic director that brought me in when we had nothing. We didn't have souk up. We didn't have. I've told the story that we put seat backs in.
Right,
and where souk up was in there,
when the south end was still open,
two porta potties, and that was it.
And that's where we stored the backs.
And that's where we stored all that stuff.
I'm not trying to be the
Pollard. No, I'm not. I'm just trying to. This is our back and forth. Jamie Pollard is 100 times better than Trev Alberts. Only thing that Trev Alberts has going for him is the last, and that's what Scott Frost had going for him too. The last time that Nebraska was relevant, those two had bigger ties to the program, so they brought them back.
Right.
And
well, what's it been? Five coaches since Tom Osborne.
Yeah, but a couple of those, and you're going to have to remind me the
was
names.
Solich?
Frank Solich. I mean, they fired a couple of ones that they probably shouldn't have fired.
Had a nine-win season,
they
fired him.
They fired him because they still thought they were Nebraska, and I think that is one of the things, because I'm looking at this, and so with the Big Ten right now, they are pulling in, USC and UCLA. And they want to pull in Oregon and Stanford. I mean, that knocks, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That knocks Nebraska down to the 20th best team in the Big Ten. That's what you want? That's your job you want? Man, I don't know. That's crazy talk.
It is crazy talk.
But I've said all along, I'm going to be wrong, and I'm going to be mad.
I don't think he's checked all the boxes. I think he still wants more at Iowa State anyway.
Happy Hour Sports. B Styles coming up.
A man who lives and breathes Iowa sports. Steen on sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
I'm just glad I'm living and breathing. I'm not going to, you know, Iowa sports sometimes can take that away from you.
Yes.
So we're glad that we're doing that. Hello, everyone. It is Thursday. It is Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. You're listening to us live on 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for Real Sports Fans. We're bringing you your sports your way every day. After the program today, you're getting pregame of the Kansas City Chiefs and the Los Angeles Chargers. What an opening.
You got your prime.
Oh,
video
my goodness. That is ready to roll, my friend. We are on Twitter. It's at 1700 The Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower underscore 13. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ. This segment will be brought to you by, I got to see my sheet here. It's going to be brought to you by Woodman Controls. They are a building controls company making it easier to manage automated systems from your preferred computer device. Go to Woodman Controls to see various careers centered around business development, project manager, field technician, service technicians. You can give them a call, 515-964-0904. Great company. Have them doing a couple of our controls. It is so nice to have. And they are going to bring in our next guest. It is Brendan Styles. He is at the B Styles on Twitter. B, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, and I got to say, I think you guys are making the right decision here with having the Chiefs game on your radio affiliate, because you might get a spike in the number of listeners tonight just with the number of people that may not have Amazon Prime.
Yeah, no doubt. Absolutely. I mean, it's going to be different,
right?
And it's the way, right? It's just the way,
right?
TV's going to.
I think it's going to be really different here in Herbie calling a game with Al Michaels.
I do too. I like Kirk Herbstreit. So
right. I do as well. But you know, we're always used to him being in college. But it'll be interesting to hear him call an NFL game. I'll just say this: I'm glad that this is one of those instances where I'm glad I'm married and my wife is the one that has the Amazon Prime, so I could just use that. Because we kind of split the streaming services, if you will. She's got that and Netflix. I have the Disney bundle and the HBO Max, so we split it up, but it's one of those nights where it's a good thing to have that.
The Disney bundle is the primo. Not
we use the Prime for work for our the free shipping, so it just happens to be on my phone.
There you go, you get a write off.
It's kind of a good thing. So I've already we've kind of B and I have kind of hashed out the Iowa thing, but I want to ask B. I asked Scott this earlier.
Sure.
What would be a stat or a score that gives a little bit of relief to Iowa Hawkeye fans in this game on Saturday?
Well, I don't know if there's really going to be any relief that comes out of this regardless, but I guess I would say at least 30 or 40 points scored, because ultimately that's what it's boiling down to. I think, you know, the offense has shown at times they can move the ball, but what happens is even when they've shown they can move the ball, they keep stalling out. Yeah. It's not just like three and outs that they're having. So to me, it's got to be something where when they do have drives, they're able to finish the touchdowns, because aside from the one they got for the black punt last Saturday against Iowa State, they have not proven yet that they could do that this season. And, you know, it doesn't have to be like the 99-yard drive that the Cyclones had, but like, let's say you have a drive where you start on your own 25 because the kickoff went out of the end zone. Go to 75 yards, get the six. Like, if you could do so, if they could show that here a few times against a team that, frankly, they should be able to score at will on, considering what happened to them last week in Reno, losing to Incarnate Word and giving up 55 points. I mean, you would hope that Iowa could score at least 30. I don't know if they're going to be able to do that necessarily, but I think that that's maybe the number that you shoot for if you're a fan and you want to be optimistic about this team.
Okay, the big thing with that, if Petras does have a great day and he has the yards and no interceptions,
yeah,
he has the touchdowns and everything, does the talk finally go, okay, he's relaxing, he's better, or does the talk go straight to, man, Nevada's a really bad team?
I think it's more the latter among the fan base. Inside the building, it's going to be, okay, yeah, see, he's proven all of you wrong.
Right.
And
okay,
I'm sure that that's probably what Kirk would say Saturday night if you do get that kind of performance from Spencer. And look, I hope he plays well. I it's not something where anybody wants to see him play poorly. It's just the fact of the matter is he's been out there for 3 years now, and he's still the same player that he's been all along. It's not like you've seen the strides in his game, and whatever strides maybe he has made, they just haven't shown. And you hope for his sake that they could show in a game like this, because if they don't, they're going to have some real issues going into Big Ten play.
And I think that's kind of a little bit of this. I don't think any of us want to say anything about a 23-year-old kid playing sports in college.
No.
Exactly.
I think that's why everything's been pointed at Kirk and Brian and the way it's being worked, because I agree with you that kid shouldn't be taking slack from anybody.
And I will say this. This is the first time that I've really noticed a lot of the fan base actually venting their frustration towards Kirk. Because if you go back to other seasons where there's been complaints about the offense, it's always been, oh, Ken O'Keefe can't do this, or Greg Davis can't do that. And yeah, Brian deserves some of the scrutiny for sure. I'm not saying he doesn't, but this time around, I think people are kind of picking up on, well, okay, all three of these offensive coordinators have one thing in common. It's the head coach that they work for. Yeah. So,
exactly.
The head coach that says, hey, it's my way because I'm the head coach and I'm where it stops. So mm-hmm. he's
And, you know, it's worked for a long time for Kirk. It is recently his last season. They've won 10 games. And it's not that they can't win games. It's just that it's got to be at a point where you want your offense to at least look average. Because if you even just had the most average offense, like there's 131 FBS teams. Let's say you're ranked 66th offensively. With the defense and special teams they have, that would be a legitimate threat to not only win the Big Ten West, but to possibly even win the conference.
Right. Not 155.
No.
Right.
So I think we're good there. I got to ask you this. I asked Scott this, and we have to do this because of what happened with Nebraska and Scott Frost. What's a better program, Iowa State or Nebraska?
At the moment, it's Iowa State, but I think it's one of those situations where I think I know where you're going with this. If Nebraska comes calling for Matt Campbell, I think he's going to have a hard time saying no, because it's, for one thing, you got Trev Alberts as the athletic director there, and he has Iowa ties. He's from Cedar Falls. I would imagine, frankly, that Kirk Ferentz would be like the kind of coach that he's looking for, but he knows he has no chance of getting him. So he's going to look at maybe a younger version of that. Well, who fits that description right now better than a Matt Campbell does, you know, as a guy who's, you know, shown that he can win at a program like Iowa State, and he's been a hot commodity for NFL jobs as well as high college jobs. But you think about the jobs at the collegiate level that he would probably have interest in. Notre Dame just hired a head coach. Ohio State just made its hire a few years ago, and I don't think Ryan Day is going anywhere anytime soon. Harbaugh basically saved his job at Michigan last year, and I think he's secure now. So what's the next best thing? It could very well be in Nebraska, not necessarily because of, you know, all the history and all that stuff, but rather what's coming here in the future, which is all that Big Ten money. And it's going to make even the most mediocre Big Ten football program, it's going to make that a more lucrative job now. And the same goes with the SEC as well, because that's where the money's going, and those are the schools that are going to have a better chance at making the playoff, even if they don't win their conference.
That's true, and I guess the one thing, and I can't believe I'm saying this, is that he did the same thing when he came to Iowa State. They thought Iowa State was going to be dead and gone, and he changed the culture, and that's what needs to happen in Nebraska. And
that's what they're looking at.
And it starts with your head coach, and you know, Scott Frost, his way of saying it is, hey, it's me, Scott Frost. Remember me in Nebraska.
Right.
My face
exactly.
is all over
It's not
going
to work.
No, that's not working. So – yeah, okay. Now I'm in a bad. No, I'm not in a bad. Listen, that's the way college sports are going to be. And it happens.
But yeah, that's a testament to him and to Iowa State and what they've become under him, more than anything.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, what we've always said before we said that about Matt Campbell is kind of our mantra at Iowa State is, since Jamie's been there, it's in Jamie we trust.
Right.
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 And I get that. So I'm not going to be angry about it. I'm just thinking that's way bigger than.
And let me make clear. I'm not saying that will happen, but I have a gut feeling that deep down that he might very well be at the top of Trev Albert's list.
Right. And I agree with that. And he probably should be.
Saying something though to Matt Campbell's character, though, he seriously has said, I'm not going to address this until the end of the season and give my all. But to me, that's way too long. Nebraska's going to have something in place midseason here. They're not going to wait till the end of the season.
I
don't know about that. I don't know about that, just because they already have their interim, and they're basically saying you have this audition from now until the Iowa game on Black Friday, and then once that's done – then you're probably looking at them trying to make a move sometime before the beginning of December would be my guess.
Once again, we're talking to Brendan Stiles. He's at the B Stiles on Twitter. All right, B, give me your rundown on the Chargers-Chiefs game tonight.
Well, obviously it's a great quarterback battle between Justin Herbert and Patrick Mahomes. I think the thing that I'm going to be interested to see is you saw with Kansas City how balanced they were, not like in terms of run pass, but more in terms of who Patrick Mahomes was throwing touchdowns to against Arizona the other day. He's throwing one to Kelsey, he's throwing one to Hardman, throwing one, you know, what have you. He's getting all of his receivers involved. I think this could be a game where, because you know that the Chargers have the pass rush there with Joey Bosa and Khalil Mack, this might be a game where they try to seek more of a running attack and maybe get a Clyde Edwards-Helaire or possibly a Ronald Jones involved in the backfield. That's not to say that Mahomes isn't going to do his thing, but I think there might be more of that balance in terms of run pass tonight than there was the other day when they played Arizona. As far as the Chargers are concerned, I mean, they have to feel confident just in the sense that they've gone into Arrowhead in recent years and have beaten the Chiefs on their field, including last season. So the one major concern they're obviously going to have is not having Keenan Allen tonight.
That's a big deal.
But, but then, hey, maybe that's more plays for Austin Eckler out of the backfield. So I think this is going to be a really fascinating game because you got two AFC West teams that one that has proven that they've been good and one that's looking to prove that they're good. And I think it's definitely going to be a game that comes down to the wire tonight for sure.
And it's a huge game tonight because – the crowd is going to be crazy because they've been pulling up to try to get into the parking lots at like 7:45 a.m. this morning. And they weren't letting them in until 3, and then they changed it to 1, and then they were like 12:30.
Right, just come in. You're blocking the highway.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have to factor into the way that they have Arrowhead set up. I've never been to a game there, but I've gone by it. The fact that it's not exactly in downtown Kansas City and that it's more off the interstate, and you have that huge parking lot between that and Kauffman. So yeah, I could totally imagine what you just described being the situation there today.
Expectations for the Bears-Packers game?
I'm keeping them low. That's what a lifetime of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers torturing me has done, is to keep my expectations low in this particular game.
That's awesome.
But I'd like to believe that they have a legit chance here, just based off of what I saw last Sunday against San Francisco and how disciplined that they look. But the issue is going to be this: if they get off to a slow start offensively like they did there against the 49ers, I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to have two bad games in a row like that, even if the receivers are inexperienced. And I think it could very well be something where Green Bay relies, especially if the weather is going to be as bad as it sounds like it could be Sunday night in Green Bay, they might be relying more on their run game. So that means a lot of Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon, which that's something the Bears have to be prepared for, because they were fortunate in the sense that Elijah Mitchell got knocked out of that game last Sunday, and suddenly the Niners didn't have as much to rely on in terms of a ground game. So I think that that's something that they're going to have to be prepared for, and they have to be able to score points early and often. Otherwise, it could be a long night.
Coach O'Connell, a big enough difference in Minnesota to make Vikings a Super Bowl contender?
I think we'll have a better idea after their game here Monday night against Philadelphia, because really that game, when you look at it, it's an opportunity for one of those two teams to really, like, jump out, not just like in terms of their divisions, but in terms of the NFC in general. Because you look at the situation in the NFC East, Washington and New York both won Sunday, but I don't think anybody expects either of them to still be very good. And then Dallas, it just seemed like their season sunk last week with losing Dak at the end of that game against Tampa Bay. Philadelphia has a chance to really rack up some wins and put themselves in a position where maybe they get home field, or if not that, maybe they're like a two seed. And the same goes for the Minnesota Vikings. If they're able to win that game and they could stay ahead of Green Bay, it could end up being something where maybe that confidence builds and suddenly they get to double-digit wins and put themselves in a position where they not only win the NFC North, but could very well be one of those top seeds. And then you have teams having to come up here to Minneapolis to deal with them, as opposed to them having to go on the road.
And there is high double-digit, under-the-radar, great NFL football players on these two teams that people are going to get a chance to see.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of stud talent on these
teams.
Just
a receiver battle with Justin Jefferson and A.J. Brown. My goodness.
It's unbelievable. And you know, Jalen Hurts and Kirk Cousins, both who came into the season people not knowing what to expect, and both of them had really good first games. So you get to see you get to see what happens. Chicago White Sox, Minnesota Twins, any chance that they can pop up there and get into the playoffs at all?
Well, the White Sox won today, so I'd like to think they could, but I have a feeling Cleveland's probably going to hold on to win the AL Central.
Gotcha, brother. Thanks for coming on twice. We appreciate it. Have a good weekend.
Absolutely. Yep, you too. Talk to you next week.
Bye-bye. B-Styles. None better. You're listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We'll be back last segment for this Thursday and for the week.
America, 200 food banks strong.
1700, The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in, everybody. Last segment on this Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott on this Thursday. It's our last show of the week. We have a little golf outing for Roofing Foundation tomorrow.
Rooftop Foundation. It's it's Christmas. September. We're getting ready for making some money so we can help kids go do some shopping.
I think that's awesome. The fact that they take them out is the most important thing.
Oh, we take them out. I'm one of the volunteers. It was cool.
It's awesome. I think that's so cool. You are listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. We're coming to you live on 101.3 FM, 1700 Champ AM, Real Sports Talk for real sports fans. Twitter at 1700 Champ, at Steen on Sports, at Scott Brower _13, and at Happy Hour _SS. Facebook's at 1700 The Champ as well. Chiefs Chargers go right at 6 o'clock. You are going to get the Chiefs radio network. That means a whole lot of Mitch Holtis, which is good for all involved. Let's see. We need to thank all of our sponsors: iCubs, Woodman Controls, Northwest Bank, Palmer Group, Des Moines Orthopedic, Heritage Building Maintenance. I want to thank them all for being a part of the show.
Did you say come and go?
And come and go. Yeah. Not Subway. Come and go.
Okay.
BetMGM.
Rise above it. We can move past it. All right.
Thank you.
I don't think we have to mention BetMGM. We talk about them enough throughout the show.
I think that is true as well.
All right, so we're going to – I know we always kind of just do a little banter and potpourri in this final segment of it, yep. But let's talk about this.
Okay.
Your Baltimore Ravens against the
– What's the – give me the spread. What's the spread in the over-under?
See, I don't get this. Baltimore is a 3.5-point favorite.
In Miami. It's in Miami, right? Is it in Miami?
Yes.
I think it is. As we both look on our thing.
Yeah, so. No. MT Bank Stadium.
Oh, it's in
right. You look at the different match predictors stuff. I'm looking at this one. They are giving Baltimore a 72% chance of winning. They don't think very highly of Tua.
At home, I get that. That's a tie. What's the over-under?
I don't wager that much. I haven't seen that. Huh? So. But is it Lamar is that good?
He's gonna make Miami just beat New England. Mac Jones is a sitting target. Lamar Jackson is not a sitting target. I mean that's the difference. Mac Jones might throw a little bit better than Lamar and more accurate than Lamar Jackson, but Lamar Jackson is pretty accurate.
I was gonna say that I like Miami's defensive secondary. I mean, I don't know. It'll be interesting.
I think they're going to do a lot of run deep and somebody pick up Patrick Queen. Or no, not Patrick Queen. Who's that's my middle linebacker. Pick up their middle linebacker and Lamar Jackson. I bet you Lamar Jackson runs for over 100 yards.
Really? Well, sounds like a prop bet. Keep going. I'm trying to look here because they made me log in again.
Over under. Over under.
All right. So the one that got me though, the Giants are a 2-point favorite over the Panthers.
First time in 4 years they've been a favorite. Can you believe that? 4 years.
I guess I didn't have anything stand out over the weekend that I went, ooh, the Giants are back. But then again, it's
they won a football game. I mean that's the big one.
Okay.
Brian Daboll, once again, it's one of those things. Now, Nathaniel Hackett ruined it because, man, I was on top. I was on top of a mountaintop going, you know what? See, Denver, they got rid of that old curmudgeon defensive coordinator. And
all these young offensive guys are so smart.
So smart.
Oh,
I had to get to the 46. Wrong 46. Good Lord. And Russell Wilson, you know, everybody's like, well, I wonder what Russell thought. Yeah, you know, I agree with Coach, and Coach did a good job. And then
that's a really good Russell Wilson.
And he goes home to who is it? Sierra.
Yeah.
And blows up his house. We're moving. I'm going to build a new house because this has a bad aura in it. Because Nathaniel Hackett was here.
He needs to go drink tea with.
Oh my goodness.
44.5 is the over under on the the Miami Baltimore game.
That's a lot. That's a lot of points.
Yeah, it is.
Mm.
I mean, I can see Miami scoring 28, but that's a lot of points for you guys. So, New York, Cleveland. Who do you think's favorite in that one?
It's in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Robert Saleh, Cleveland. I was listening to that today, too. Robert Saleh saying he's keeping receipts. I'm keeping track of people that are ripping on the Jets. Dude, that's a long
keeping receipts.
That's a long list over the last 10 years.
You're going to need a manila envelope, keep those in.
I hope the Lions beat the...
They're a 0.5 favorite.
Yeah.
The Lions are favored.
I get it. This is my bet of the weekend. I think the New Orleans Saints are going to blow the doors off Tampa Bay.
I think
Tampa
too.
Bay does not play good against them. Tom Brady does not play good against them. I think that could get ugly really, really fast.
44.5 point over-under.
For that game?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's going to be over. I think that's an over game.
Right. But it's going to be, you're thinking like a 38 to
28. 20.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. I'm writing this down.
Baltimore, Miami. I would love to. I mean, it's if that game was in Miami, totally different. I mean, Miami's not going to play as well on the road as they do at home. I mean, Tua's not going to play as well.
Still early in the season
on the road.
Still early in the season. It's the conditions are conducive to a to the way they're going to play ball. Yeah. I'd go the under. That 44.5, I still go the under with that team or with that game.
Yeah.
They're decent defenses.
No, they are. They're both good.
All right. We're going to jump down. This should be an interesting game after the Bears beat the 49ers. Is there any game in the Seahawks against the 49ers?
No.
They got the 49ers as an 8.5-point favorite.
Seattle's bad. I mean, Denver was not good. They're in Seattle. Seattle on the road is bad. Listen, if they think Geno Smith's going to go 19 for 21 again, that's I would bet the house. I'd be in trouble, right?
Yeah.
Here's the interesting game too: Arizona, Las Vegas. Who bounces back?
Right.
That's going to be interesting.
I think Vegas does.
Yeah, I do too. I'm. I do not think Kyler Murray is the problem. I think the head coach is so, I mean, Kyler Murray keeps them in games. He's running for his life.
I agree.
You know, that's just not a good situation there. There's not a ton of great games. I mean, that Pittsburgh New England game, it's not 7 years ago. I mean, that could be a 19-17 game.
But still, it should be a good game to, you know, is it Trubisky? Does Pickett finally get his chance? What's going to be the highlights that we can start looking forward to and giving Pittsburgh hope again? Or, I mean, I'm looking at this Bears and Packer game. You know, it's Bears Packers, but I'm like, oh, this could be an ugly game.
Yeah.
But then again, we just watched Minnesota and Green Bay, and it was an ugly game.
The two best games for the whole weekend. Except for that Baltimore Miami game, I think that's a Sunday. The Sunday's best game.
Oh, we're starting off with the best game tonight, dude.
Well, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, for the weekend. For the weekend. Okay.
Buffalo, Tennessee, and Minnesota, Philadelphia. Those are huge games. Yeah. Buffalo. I mean, I do not think Tennessee is very good. I think they're going to struggle, but and Josh Allen, it's a home game. I mean. When you look at all the good games that were had, I mean, Josh Allen was almost perfect playing that first night. I mean, he was that good.
I know.
And then you have Patrick Mahomes come and follow it up and have a 5-touchdown. You know, hey, did you see me? Josh Allen.
I don't even look where I throw.
So I think both of those are pretty exciting games. I did have a few of these. There's four really good high school football games, and I know people get mad at me because I only do class 5A, but I have to go with stuff that I actually, if I could talk about it, I want to talk about it. Waukee Valley, that's a huge game. That could, if Waukee loses, that could knock them out of the playoffs already. Ankeny plays Southeast Polk, another Southeast Polk having to go. Dowling Catholic goes up to Iowa City and plays them, and Johnston plays Waukee Northwest. Dowling beating Ankeny last week with J.J. Cole. That's a big win for Dowling.
Right.
So I still think the two best teams in the state are Southeast Polk and Dowling. And, you know, kind of see what can happen. But you never know. Ankeny could give Southeast Polk some trouble. I just know that the running back that's going to Iowa State's having, I mean, he's at 800 yards already. 800 yards and 7 touchdowns.
Ooh.
Abu Samad, I think it's. I think that's. I kind of messed that up a little bit.
Isn't he a city councilman?
Well, that could be too.
Okay, sorry.
But he was a recruit for Iowa State that they didn't really know where to put him, and now they're like, oh my gosh, now I don't care. I can put him all over the place,
exactly.
And he is that good.
You, it was good to see you.
Good to see you too, my friend. You have been listening to Happy Hour Sports with Steen and Scott. Not going to be in tomorrow. I will see you on Monday to go over all these games again. Have a great weekend. 101.3 FM, 1700 The Champ AM. Watch Kansas City.
Here's a look at traffic on 101.3 and 1700 The Champ.
Keep an eye out for